Welcome back. It's the second hour of Issues Etc. Today we're coming to you live this Thursday, the 2nd of March. It's open lines, audio open lines as we like to call it here on the program. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll play audio open lines. Hear your comments on Jerry Falwell. Says he has not been rightly quoted, not so much quoted as his viewpoint portrayed in the Jerusalem Post about whether or not he believes that Jews can go to heaven apart from Jesus Christ. We'll play some of that audio for you, and I want your reaction as well. Also, the issue of immigration is certainly a hot political issue. It has its homeland security and war on terrorism aspects. It also has a lot to do with foreign policy, especially with our neighbor to the south. Well, is it a religious issue? Cardinal Mahoney out there in California has been talking about immigration and immigrants during his sermons. We're going to play some of it for you. And I'm just wondering, is this a thus saith the Lord issue, immigration, or how we ought to regard immigrants? If it is, where is it said? Our call-in numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. In the last hour of the program, Pastor Eric Rotman joins us to talk about worship. Sunday night on the program, very big subject, conversion. Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will join us to talk about how it happens. Is it us? Is it God? Is it a little bit of both? Do you need to make your decision for Christ? That's Sunday night from 10 to 11 on 91.5 FM here in St. Louis. Is it 10 to 11 or 10 to 11 on 91.5 FM here in St. Louis? Well, here's this story from the AP regarding Jerry Falwell. He denies a report that he believes Jews don't need Christ. The Reverend Jerry Falwell is denying an Israeli newspaper report, that's the Jerusalem Post, I believe, that he now believes Jews can get to heaven without becoming Christians. Wednesday's Jerusalem Post said that two Texas clerics, the Reverend John Hagee, hey, we've reviewed one of his sermons, and Rabbi Aray Sheinberg, had convinced Falwell that Jews have their own separate covenant and don't need to go through Jesus or the cross to get to heaven. Well, didn't take long for the Reverend Jerry Falwell to respond. Here he is. He denies the Jerusalem Post report that he believes Jews don't need Jesus to be saved.
Anybody who knows me knows that I believe that Christ is the way, the truth, the life, the only way to heaven.
This seems to be a bit of a kerfuffle among dispensationalists. There are kind of your old-line dispensationalists who will say, well, usually they're called dual covenant, two-track dispensationalists, where they believe God has a way of saving the Jews apart from Jesus Christ, and that way is they're just Jews. They're just Abraham's children. And he has a way of saving the rest of us, which is through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the twain need to never meet. Now, a Jew could become a Christian. That's fine and good, but he doesn't need to be saved. That's old line dispensationalism. They tend to relegate the cross to God's plan B when plan A failed. And then there are the newer dispensationalists. And Jerry Falwell says, no, he's no two-track dispensationalist. He does believe Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation for everybody, Jew and Gentile. Good to hear that from Jerry Falwell, by the way, because that's what the Bible teaches. In particular, you can hardly get through the book of Romans without stumbling over that particular truth, that Jesus is the only way of salvation for both Jew and Gentile. I think it's right there in the, first chapter, 16th, 17th, 18th verse? Well, here's Jerry Falwell again. He says that he has not, emphatically, has not changed his belief that Jesus is the only way to heaven.
Of course not. I have no idea how that got in there. I made contact with Dr. John Hagee and the rabbi in San Antonio, who allegedly made the statement to the Jerusalem Post. They both signed an affidavit saying they did not.
All right, that's Jerry Falwell. I want to hear your thoughts on this. Simple misunderstanding. How in the world did it get into the Jerusalem Post that Jerry Falwell had changed his mind and had decided that Jews don't need Jesus to go to heaven? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. He did send out a what he calls a gracious correction of the Jerusalem Post, in which here's the quote from the Jerusalem Post in question. Quote, an evangelical pastor and an Orthodox rabbi, both from Texas, have apparently persuaded leading Baptist preacher Jerry Falwell that Jews can get to heaven without being converted to Christianity, televangelist John Hagee and Rabbi Aryeh Sheinberg, whose Cornerstone Church and Rodfi Shalom congregations are based in San Antonio, told the Jerusalem Post that Falwell had adopted Hagee's innovative belief that Christians, what Christians refer to as the dual covenant theology, this creed, which runs counter to mainstream evangelism, maintains that Jewish people have a special relationship to God through the revelation at Sinai and therefore do not need to go through Christ or the cross, that's in quote, to get to heaven. That's the end of the quote from the Jerusalem Post. Boy, I say what you will about Jerry Falwell, I'd hate to read something like that about me in the Jerusalem Post. Wilkins suddenly changes his mind and says Jews can go to heaven apart from Jesus Christ. That requires a correction. Now, I'm looking through the rest of Falwell's thing, and he says he does not agree with it. And he does assert at the very end, like the Apostle Paul, I daily pray for the salvation of everyone, including the Jewish people. He does not quote, except for one Bible passage, the reason he believes it, but he quotes the right one, I guess. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, John 14:6. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, speaking of popular dispensationalists, Christian broadcaster Pat Robertson, criticized by some evangelicals recently for his comments about Venezuela's president, Prime Minister of Israel, he's lost a bid for re-election to the National Religious Broadcasters Board of Directors. Robertson, founder of the Virginia Beach-based Christian Broadcasting Network, was one of 38 candidates for 33 board seats during the NRB's recent convention. The group recently represents evangelical radio and television broadcasters. Robertson suggested that Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, a couple months ago, should be assassinated, and that Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's stroke was divine punishment for pulling out of the Gaza Strip. Quote, I would say that there was a broad dismay with some of Pat's comments and a feeling that they were not helpful to Christian broadcasters in general, but by no means was there any broad effort in our association to disassociate ourselves from him, said the NRB president Frank Wright to Wednesday's Washington Post. He didn't make it back on the board. I guess there are some consequences to saying ridiculous things on a regular basis. Even NRB won't ask you back if you do it long enough. Well, I don't know that it's any skin off of Pat Robertson's feet. He's got his own network. Right? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go to the phones. We will start with Matt in Palm Bay, Florida. Hi, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd. Hope you're having a Christ-filled day.
I am.
Me too. This whole thing about the other way for Jews to make it to heaven, and I'm asking for your personal opinion, and it's a hard one to ask without sounding, you know, maybe just a little bit racist, but how much of it is maybe some guilt on the part of people? You know, they're guilty maybe for the way the Jews have been treated over any given period of time, or because of the Holocaust, or things that they kind of back off a little bit and go, well, if they follow their covenant, then, you know, God will let them into heaven.
So you're asking how much of this has its genesis in kind of latent Gentile guilt?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, Matt. Certainly with some. And I'm thinking here in terms of Christians in the 20th century.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there is. It will never be admitted to. But I think it's mostly just due to really bad theology. Just really bad way of reading the Old Testament and the New Testament. This dispensational view accounts for most of it. And the reason I say that, Matt, is because dispensationalism predates things like the Holocaust by a good number of decades. And guys like Darby and Schofield knew nothing of such atrocities. Now, these are atrocities, but the kind of guilt that this kind of latent Gentile guilt that has hung over Western civilization since the Second World War. It's there. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's not a racist thing. It's just simply there's a similar thing, kind of latent white guilt after the end of slavery.
That's what I was thinking about.
That might inform some of the feelings that dispensationalists have, but no one will ever tell you, hey, let's give them a pass. They don't need Jesus because look at how they've been treated for all these centuries. No one will actually come out and say that, although I think it probably plays into the emotional mix of dispensationalism. But it's mostly, and thanks for the call, Matt, just bad theology. Just a complete and total misunderstanding of how to read the Bible. And I'm not overstating the case. Dispensationalism completely misunderstands how to read the Bible. It doesn't get everything wrong. It just gets the most important thing wrong. And then, because of that, so many other important things wrong. In a nutshell, it reads the Bible, the key to understanding the Bible, as the modern state of Israel. In a real sense, a thoroughgoing dispensationalist will have to tell you that we really couldn't completely understand the Bible in all of its fullness and certainty until 1948. And then we saw, aha, this is what God is planning all along. You got to understand that the dispensational way of reading the Bible says God has saved man. There's no problem with them saying that Jews are saved in a different way than Gentiles. No problem whatsoever. Because the way they read the scriptures throughout various epochs in human history, God has saved man in all manner of ways. Not always by grace alone, and certainly not always through Christ alone. The thoroughgoing old-style dispensationalist believes that you and me, the Gentiles, are saved by Christ alone. But if you go back 5,000 years to the Old Testament, they were saved by keeping the law. They have no problem reading it that way. Such a profound misunderstanding of Scripture. It's no wonder that it generates this kind of mistaken theology. What is the key to understanding Scripture? Jesus Christ. He is the sum and substance of biblical prophecy, not the modern state of Israel. And Paul makes it abundantly clear, those are true Jews, and he's even talking about Gentiles here, those are true Jews who share not in the blood of Abraham, but in the faith of Abraham, and he makes it abundantly clear that Abraham's faith is in Jesus. One way of salvation. Isn't it odd that Jesus, who apparently failed according to dispensational theology to enact plan A and had to resort to plan B, says, I have come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They need him too. They still do. Jerry calls from South County. Hi, Jerry.
Yeah, hi, Todd. I believe the quote from Romans that you read, that it was belief in Jesus is necessary for both Jews and Gentiles to
yes.
be saved, right?
Well, mm-hmm.
What was, do you have the quote, verse and chapter?
I think it's, let me yank my Bible
because
over here.
Because that's a good one.
It is Romans mm-hmm. chapter 1, and I know that the starting point here is Romans chapter 1, verse 16, but if you give me just a mm-hmm. second to flip over there.
Okay.
And give you chapter and verse, that's always a nice thing to do when mm-hmm. you're going to quote the Bible. It's always nice to read it and see what it actually says. So don't take my word for it. Here's the verse. Turn too far. This is in the very first chapter of Romans, and Paul, this is the theme verse of the book of Romans, by the way. Starting at 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, the term Greek there is a way of speaking of the whole Gentile world, because that's who most of the Gentiles were in those days, Greeks. For in it a righteousness of God, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous, the one who is righteous by faith will live. And then he goes on later to deal with it in more detail. It is the theme verse of the book of Romans. He deals with it in more detail, starting with Abraham in chapter 4, and then on through chapter 11, explaining that this one way of salvation, this righteousness of God that is from faith to faith for both Jew and Gentile, is for everybody. And he answers all of the questions that bedevil dispensationalism.
You know, Todd, that is why I believe the Bible is the final word. You can't add, subtract, or call it a you don't have a denomination believing this and denomination believing that. They must believe what the Bible says without adding and subtracting. And also through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a quiet mental inspiration as you read the Bible. And that's why it is the final word. So when we have all these questions, I think all we have to do is go back to the Bible and what does it say?
Jerry, thank you so much. Well, and I would only clarify Jerry's comments by saying, there is no Scripture Plus at all, not even the quiet inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That, if whatever we would call the quiet inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is nothing other than the words of Scripture ringing in our ears. It's the only way we're going to hear this. If you hear the Spirit speaking and He's speaking in words other than what Scripture says, if it isn't the words of Scripture ringing in your ears, it isn't the Spirit speaking. Here's Jeff from Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Todd. How you been?
I've been better, but I'm doing fine.
I've been dealing for a couple years now with examining different things along these lines, and a lot of people in the evangelical world and even in Messianic Jewish circles have started to go for Jews don't need to believe in Jesus. But I don't think for a lot of them it's based out of dispensational theology. I think it's out of a sort of like radical sort of Arminian sort of, they either go with the secret believer sort of.
Anonymous Christian, yeah.
And I think they base it off of sociological factors. Some base it maybe off of dispensational, but a lot are off of sociological factors, which is, you know, because they have so many sociological barriers that they, you know, can't, you know, because of, you know, Christian persecution of Jewish people, you know, Holocaust, blah, 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 that it's just a big psychological barrier they can't cross. So that's why, and they don't, also a lot of people don't like to think about their, you know, nice, you know, Jewish grandma, you know, not believing in Jesus or something like that.
Yeah, it's kind of the, how could God send such a person to hell, complex. You know, you look at someone, let's just say for the sake of argument, Jeff, thanks for the call, Buddhist. You got a Buddhist neighbor. Nicest guy you've ever met in your life. Yeah, he's a Buddhist, but he's the nicest guy in the world. When the kids were sick, he brought over a casserole, some Buddhist dish or something. He'll watch your house when you're on vacation. He is a good, virtuous person. And in the dark hours of the night, you might say, golly, it just wouldn't be fair for such a person to perish eternally. Maybe, how could God send someone of such goodwill to eternal perdition? Why wouldn't they be saved as well? Which is precisely the impulse that you mentioned, sociology, but the kind of psychological, emotional impulse behind things like anonymous Christianity, this teaching that has currency in the Roman Catholic Church. That people of goodwill, as long as you're a decent person, and sincere. You may not know anything about Jesus Christ, but still, you know Him without knowing Him. They call it anonymous Christianity. It is just a very subtle form of works righteousness. It just says, good people go to heaven. Scripture says, well, yeah. Good people do go to heaven. Problem is, we can't find any. Good people go to heaven, but heaven's going to be a very empty place. Oh, if you are righteous, if you are good, if you're truly virtuous, that is, without sin, sure, you go to heaven. But there's no one righteous, not one. No one seeks God. That Buddhist who lives next door to you may be the nicest guy in the world, but he does not seek God. And it ends that section, Book of Romans there, Paul again quoting the Old Testament. None is righteous, no, not one. And then all men, without excuse, held accountable with mouths shut before the accusations of God's law. And even for us Christians and believers, even our righteousness, our good deeds, are filthy rags. So no one holds their righteousness, their good deeds, their virtues up before God and has it count for anything whatsoever. there are two kinds of righteousness, Luther makes very clear. Our kind and God's kind. Our kind doesn't count before God. God's kind is the only kind that counts, and it is found only in Jesus Christ. That's the only kind of righteousness, the Jesus kind of righteousness that is his, and all that is his is now yours. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Well, here's some more audio before we go to our break. Los Angeles Cardinal Roger Mahoney used his Ash Wednesday sermon out there in California to address the issue of immigration. He says, while the church is not in favor of unregulated immigration, it still ministers to all.
Church has always been at the forefront of welcoming all waves of immigrants.
Well, that's part of the sermon. One might wonder, I just got to ask, you might raise your hand and say, why is this subject coming up? Here's Cardinal Mahoney again at the beginning of Lent. He says it's a good time to reflect on immigration reform.
I think it's providential that we are beginning this week, Ash Wednesday, the same time the Senate back in Washington is beginning discussions about how do we deal with immigrants.
Interesting timing, he says. Cardinal Roger Mahoney also says that the U.S. is experiencing a wave of anti-immigration sentiment that seems to include some any immigrant, legal or illegal.
Unless you're a Native American, every one of us here is a son or a daughter of immigrants.
And finally, Los Angeles Cardinal Roger Mahoney says in his sermon for Ash Wednesday that the concern over illegal immigration has become a general prejudice against all immigrants.
This particular moment in our history, there seems to be this strident voices that are very much anti-immigrant.
I got to ask again, how did this subject come up? Really good example. We talked about the dispensationalists a moment ago. One of their big problems is this is how they interpret scripture. Bible in one hand, newspaper in the other. Oh, I see some Mideast headlines. That must be in the Bible too. They can't tell the difference between the headlines and the Bible. Apparently, Cardinal Mahoney can't tell the difference either. Why did this subject come up? It's in the news. Well, not every newsworthy item is worthy of the pulpit. Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. While we ought to rightly be focused on the suffering of immigrants here and all of the complex of issues there, there's a bigger issue on Ash Wednesday, the suffering of Jesus Christ for us. I don't know if he tried to tie it in. I sure hope he didn't. I mean, if you're going to talk about immigration from the pulpit, just talk about immigration and leave Jesus out of it. The worst thing you could do is kind of try and segue between this and the real Lenten message, which is Christ for us sinners at the cross. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Is immigration a thus saith the Lord issue? I mean, if your pastor stands up in the pulpit and says, today we're going to talk about immigration. When we come back, soundbite of the week.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Dr. Dean Winthy, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider studying for the pastoral ministry.
It's the most beautiful and wonderful calling to expound the goodness and the grace of God in Christ and to spread the good news of Christ's victory over death. You're carrying eternal good news and the life of Christ through his word, his sacraments, and we welcome any who want to consider the ministry to visit our faculty in action, our worship, because you'll see there the word of a loving and present God who has bestowed all things in Christ.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, call them toll-free 1-800-481-2155 or visit our website, issuesetc.org.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. Americans have an appalling knowledge of their First Amendment rights. According to a survey by the McCormick Tribune Freedom Museum, 22% of respondents can name all of the characters on The Simpsons TV show, but only 1 in 1,000 can recite the freedoms guaranteed by the First Amendment. Steve Jordahl reports.
Simpson, Homer Simpson, he's the greatest guy in history. From the town of Springfield, he's about to hit a chestnut tree.
Homer is one of the characters. The Freedom Museum's Dave Anderson says it's our freedoms that are heading for a wreck if we don't gain a better understanding of our basic rights.
That if people don't know they have these rights, they won't know when they don't have them anymore. They won't know when they're lost. They won't see when they're being challenged and when they're being reduced.
David Barton of Wall Builders says freedoms atrophy if we don't use them. One First Amendment guarantee, the freedom of religion, is an example. Many people think it only means we have the right to worship as we please.
You also have the right not only to worship, but to speak about your faith and to exercise your faith, and that's not just at church and at home. Well, we also have the right to publicly display 10 Commandments. We also have the right to publicly talk about our faith. We also have the right at schools to wear T-shirts that have faith statements.
Focus on the Family Actions, John Paulton says activist courts are happy to take the concessions we give them and enshrine them into law.
Well, if people don't understand the basic freedoms that our country was founded upon, then they're much less likely to get involved in defending those beliefs.
For the record, the other First Amendment freedoms are speech, press, assembly, and the right to petition the government. For Family News in Focus, I'm Steve Jordahl.
Here's another finding from the survey. 21% thought the right to own a pet is contained in the First Amendment. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
The Christopher Hawken House and the Greater St. Louis Doll Club present Dolls in Toyland, an exhibit of antique and collectible dolls, bears, toys, and miniature quilts from 1850 to present. It's Saturday, March 4th, from 10 until 4 at the Christopher Hawken House and Barn, 1155 South Rock Hill Road in Webster Groves. In addition to the exhibit, doll and bear verbal appraisals will also be offered. Dolls in Toyland help support the Christopher Hawken House and Good Bears of America.
Issues Etc. is partially underwritten by Concordia Publishing House, publishers of our Book of the Month for March, He Is Risen Indeed. You can find a description of this picture book on our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, titled, He Is Risen Indeed.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Well, we were talking before the break about Cardinal Mahoney's thoughts on Ash Wednesday about immigration. Christians can disagree about what is good for solving the problems of immigration. One thing where there is no disagreement, because God's Word speaks so clearly, is the basic concern that Christians have for their neighbor, living in Christ by faith, in the neighbor by love. That's what LCMS World Relief is all about. Be it immigrants, be it people who are refugees, and they're out there in the world in great numbers. LCMS World Relief is taking your relief dollars and doing just that, living in Christ by faith and in the neighbor, the immigrant, the refugee, in love. Their toll-free number, you can donate to LCMS World Relief, 1-888-930-4438. Or find them at our website, issuesetc.org, 1-888-930-4438, or issuesetc.org. All right, soundbite of the week for the rest of this hour. There's not a lot of time, believe it or not, maybe 20 minutes. We're going to have to get through these pretty fast. We have 5 soundbites. This is how we play. It's just a game, and it's one of those kind of games you can't lose, so don't be afraid to play. There are no wrong answers here. We play the soundbite, you tell us if it's your soundbite of the week and why. So we've got 5 lined up from this week. These are good ones. And all over the subject matter, you do not have to agree with the soundbite to make it your soundbite of the week. Maybe you will agree with it. Maybe you won't. Maybe it's just something strikes you as funny, odd, unforgettable. Doesn't have to be the most biblically correct soundbite of the week. This is not a test. This is just a little lighthearted fun on Issues Etc. as the week draws to a close. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You can call any time. We're going to play all five of them in rapid succession. If you hear the first one and you say, I don't have to hear anymore, that's my soundbite of the week, give us a call. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. The first one comes from Pastor Matt Harrison, a regular guest on the program. It's an illustration he often uses to talk about Christian suffering.
Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Luther personifies the vine. The vine dresser comes along snipping and clipping away, and the vine screams, what are you doing? You're going to hack me to pieces with those shears. And the vine dresser says, oh, no, I'm just cutting off your unfruitful branches. And then the vine dresser comes along with a shovel and starts hoeing around in the dirt, and the vine screams, what are you doing? You're going to chop me off of the roots, you fool. And the vine dresser says, oh, no, I'm just hoeing things here in the soil to give your roots room to grow. And then the vine dresser comes along with a big wheelbarrow full of manure and throws it on the vine, and the vine screams bloody murder. What are you doing? You're going to drown me in that muck. And the vine dresser says, oh, no, I'm just fertilizing you so that your fruit of faith and righteousness and love will be all the more wonderful.
All right, that's Pastor Matt Harrison. Now, Matt might have a home court advantage here. He's a St. Louis boy now and a regular guest on the program. You might want to vote for him and this soundbite of the week just because you like the trim of his mustache or the music of his voice. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or maybe you have a more substantive reason for making Matt Harrison your soundbite of the week here on Issues Etc. The next one comes from Jennifer Lall. She joined us to talk about embryonic stem cell research. She reacted to one of the ads that is being played by the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures. The one that tugged at the heartstrings the most was this Renee and Austin mother and son ad. Here's her reaction to this heart-tugging ad that's really in favor of human cloning for biomedical research.
Clearly, we don't want anybody to walk away from hope. I mean, but our hope is must be in ethical research. In ethical science, in ethical, you know, treatments. So, you know, to say to the mother, you either have to do this, because there's where your hope is, or you have to do this, which is hopeless. You know, this sort of false dichotomy here that we're telling people, you either have to, you know, let us go into full-scale embryonic human cloning, you know, manufacturing production mode here, or it's hopeless. You know, there's a lot in between those two extremes there. So, you know, it's that fear, it's that emergency, that's that desperation. And I think it's horrible, horribly unethical to go to parents with sick children and say, you've got to support this because that's where the hope is. I think that's horribly, horribly unethical to do to parents who desperately want cures for their children.
That's the heart of the matter there, I think, as far as Jennifer Lall is concerned. Do you agree? Is it your soundbite of the week? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You may not agree, and it might still be your soundbite of the week. Here's Governor Mitt Romney of Massachusetts. This is short and sweet. He thinks George W. Bush is just keen. He likes Rick Warren's way of thinking about George W. Bush.
Borrowing from Rick Warren's title, his is a purpose-driven presidency. I'm pleased to announce and welcome our purpose-driven president who stands up for his convictions, President George W. Bush.
You want to take a guess that maybe Mitt Romney just finished reading Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. He's thinking about running for president, too, and maybe his will also be a purpose-driven presidency. Now, if it's really purpose-driven, that term could only last 40 days. Then have to start everything all over again. That's a lot of 40 days in 4 years. I don't know how they work that out. That was Soundbite 3, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. The next one, Soundbite 4, comes from Pastor Bill Swirla. This was just yesterday. We were talking about the season of Lent, answering the question, is Lent about taking up your cross or picking out your cross?
When Jesus says take up your cross, you know, you're not kind of going to some sort of shelf of crosses and say, this one looks really nice. Peter talks about our sufferings being united with the suffering of Christ, but he's talking about sufferings that are laid on you. And specifically in Peter, this would be persecutions and perhaps even martyrdom for confessing the name of Christ as a baptized Christian. Now, that's something laid on you. Fasting is something you voluntarily take on for yourself. I don't think that quite fits into that category. That's kind of like, I'm going to pick my suffering here. So I choose hunger. Not the way it works. The suffering of the cross is what is laid on you from outside your choice, and probably against your will too. You are not going to like it, and you're not going to be able to put it on the calendar for March 1st either.
Bill Cirulla can always be counted on to provide that kind of radio gem. You never know what he's going to say. Whenever we have him on, this is a little radio secret from the back room of Issues, etc. We're like, what's he going to say today? We don't know. And you're a little bit on pins and needles until you figure out which groove he's decided to occupy that particular time. This time, he's right on the money. That's Soundbite 4, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're playing Soundbite of the Week, and here's the fifth and final soundbite for your consideration. It's a caller. We've only had, what, one other soundbite of the week that was a caller, I think, and it's not that rare that we get callers who call in and say things that are more brilliant than the host, more brilliant than the guest. This one was Catherine. Catherine, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, thank you. I just tuned in, and I caught a comment that Pastor Peterson made, and I think it's very telling when he said about the church can't be on this mountaintop high emotional experience all the time. I think that's perhaps why you don't see a lot of non-liturgical, so-called evangelical, non-denominational, what I like to call pop-up churches, celebrating Lent, because they're very focused on that emotional high all the time, and they don't seem to have a lot of use for church history. But, you know, Lent just doesn't feel good about God all the time.
Catherine, thanks so much. Smartest listeners in radio. No doubt about that. Catherine's call is soundbite number 5, talking about the pop-up church and that awkward nexus between a pop American Christianity and the season of Lent. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Less time to call now than before. We're playing Soundbite of the Week. Will it be Pastor Matt Harrison talking about Christian suffering in terms of the vine being pruned and hoed and fertilized? Will it be Jennifer Lall talking about the false hope and the unethical behavior of those who are calling for human cloning for biomedical research? Will it be Governor Mitt Romney extolling the purpose-driven presidency of a purpose-driven president? Or will it be Bill Cirulla thinking about Lent and taking up one's cross, not picking out one's cross? Or, soundbite number 5, caller Catherine on the pop-up church, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's play soundbite of the week. Up first, Linda calling from Cahokia. Linda, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello.
Hi, Linda.
I'm one of those for, like, soundbite number 1, because I like the message it gave.
All right.
And that was it.
You are voting for Pastor Matt Harrison. You like, what in particular about the message did you like, Linda?
Just that it was talking about, like, Jesus and the Bible, and not so much, you know, the current events of what's going on now.
All right, Linda, okay. Thank you very much. Okay, now that's another aspect of Soundbite of the Week, because this show is, after all, Issues, Etc. That Etc. leaves us an awful lot of latitude. We talk about things that are on top of the news, things that are on top of one's mind, and, of course, in a Christ-centered, cross-focused way, and some deep matters of theology. Not every soundbite's going to be deep theology. Not all of it's going to be deep at all. Maybe you like it just because it... I've never heard that before. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I thought the ladies would vote for Matt because they like his mustache. You know, my daughter calls him Mustache Man. She knows his name, but she just calls him Mustache Man. Here comes Chuck. He calls from his car. Chuck, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, I'd like to vote for number 4.
Okay, Bill Cirulla on Lent. What about it?
Well, I just caught the last comment, and that is you cannot pick what the cross is going to be, nor can you schedule it for March 1st. And I thought to myself, even though I didn't hear the whole rest of that thing, what an amazing insight it is to remind us again that the cross comes as Christ brings it, as God declares it into our life. And yet, at the same time, we remember Romans 8:28, in all things God works for the good of those who love him. So the cross for us is never a crucifixion in the sense of a bad thing, but it's a crucifixion of the flesh for us so that we can accomplish the purpose of God. Thanks, Todd.
Thank you, Chuck. Thank you very much. He votes for Pastor Bill Swirla, soundbite number 4. So that's one for Pastor Matt Harrison on Christian suffering, one for Bill Swirla introducing us on the first day of Lent to the real heart of Lent. Let's talk with Kia, who calls from Birmingham, Alabama, listens on the internet. Hi, Kia.
Hi, Todd. How you doing?
Doing good.
That's good. I was just thinking while you were going over your list that you should have had, you know, like some of your callers, you know, nominate some of your callers. And then when you nominated Catherine, I think her name was number 5.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, that's great. But I have to go with the Bush quote.
Okay, Mitt Romney.
Yes. And the reason being, it's been in my mind this week that Bush has kind of had an agenda all along, and I don't think it really has anything to do with evangelicalism or Christianity, and I think his presidency has been very purpose-driven, and I think it's been to, pardon this phrase I'm going to use, but it's really been to, well, I'll just put it this way, it's been to exploit the church and to kind of use it and use Christian jargon so that to further his own agenda and his own cause. So I think his presidency has been very purpose-driven.
Okay, Kia, that's kind of a backhanded way of talking about the purpose-drivenness of the presidency. Well, Bush certainly wouldn't be alone, if this is true, he certainly wouldn't be alone among politicians who have used the church to their own ends or to the state's own ends. So she votes for Mitt Romney. That's one vote for Pastor Matt Harrison, one vote for Mitt Romney, extolling his purpose-driven president and his presidency. And Bill Swirla has a vote as well. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Calling from his car, Alex, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello. I'm picking the purpose-driven Bush.
All right. Why so?
Just because it's just an amazing, instance of what does this purpose-driven thing mean anyway? I mean, you can apply it to whatever you want.
Well put. Well put. What in the world is it? Alex, thank you. It is a good commentary. When a Mormon, that's Governor Mitt Romney, can quote a Baptist to talk about a Methodist's presidency and say, it's really purpose-driven. It's a one-size-fits-all when the Mormons think this book represents what they believe as much as the Christians think it's a book that represents what they believe. Weird. Phil calls from his car. Hi, Phil.
How you doing?
Doing good.
I vote for the number one, Mustache Man.
Mustache Man. All right. And why so?
You know, it took me a long time to get to this place, but, you know, I now count it all joy when I, you know, fall into these trials and tribulations, you know, comes at me. Now, not the ones that, you know, I would create myself, but the ones that I can see that through it all, when I get through, that, you know, the vine dresser has taught me something, you know, and I do look forward to these now. And like I say, it took a long time of focusing on Jesus and, you know, living a life for him, reading my Bible daily. So I really like that statement that he made.
All right. Thank you very much, Phil, and thanks for listening as well. Pastor Matt Harrison talking about Christian suffering, and it could be summarized by that passage to which Phil alluded there. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you suffer various trials and tribulations. God is treating you as sons. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're playing Soundbite of the Week. We've got less than 10 minutes for you to call. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Eric Rotman will be joining us here in about 10 minutes. Pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Versailles, Missouri. We're going to talk about worship. The entire issue of Good News Magazine is devoted to the theme of worship. Back to the phones. Matt in Palm Bay, Florida. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me on again. I loved Pastor Matt's, but, you know,
Catherine's, number five.
All right.
She actually completes, it's funny because to me it sounded like she completed his thought when she spoke about how all of these, and I love that term, pop-up churches, that you won't find them celebrating Lent, because I hear Paul saying the message of the gospel is foolishness. And this idea of celebrating a sad event, the death of our Savior, is foolishness to a lot of people. I mean, to celebrate his death in the way that we do is just, it's strange to them. And she really filled that point out. So I got to vote for number five.
All right. There's one vote for caller Catherine. Now, here are our totals. Soundbite number one is Pastor Matt Harrison on Christian suffering. He's got two votes. Jennifer Lull on the false hope of embryonic stem cell research, zero votes. She's still got a goose egg going there. Governor Mitt Romney talking about the purpose-drivenness of George W. Bush in his presidency, two votes. That's a tie with soundbite number one. Soundbite number four, Bill Swirla on Lent and not picking out your cross. That's one vote, soundbite number four. And soundbite number five, caller Catherine. It's always nice to get the caller's soundbites in there. They're sometimes the best part of the show. On the awkward season of Lent for Pop American Christianity, or as she calls it, Pop-Up Christianity. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Someone needs to break the tie between number one and number three, or bring someone else up in the running. Let's see what DB does here, calling from his car. Hi, DB.
Hey, Todd, I think that I'm going to have to vote for the purpose-driven president.
All right, why so?
I think it's just another example of really the Christian rights, civil religion. You know, I'm a conservative theologically and conservative politically, but I can never align myself with the Christian right because of this, I guess, what has been called civil religion, you know, where we mix faith and the two kingdoms really together. And I find it's just another example of doing that where we where George Bush has been personified as an excellent example of Christianity. And though I think he's a good president and a good leader, and I have personally voted for him, I think he's really a liberal in his theology. And I found it disturbing, a lot of things that he said about the Christian faith and the God of Islam is the same as the God of Christianity, in essence. And those things have really bothered me. And I think as Christians, especially, you know, clergy and leaders of the church should step back from that. And I think this is just an example of that kind of mentality.
DB, thank you. Well put. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I voted for President George W. Bush as well, but he's a Bible-believing liberal. He is one of these guys who's socially, morally, and politically conservative, for the most part, and theologically liberal. No doubt about that. Thank you very much, DB. So we've got three votes for Mitt Romney introducing the purpose-driven president. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. As time winds down, here's Barry. He's calling from D.C. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Todd. You know, I'm kind of scared of politicians, so that whole thing with Mitt Romney, I just can't vote for it, even though it was kind of interesting. But number five, I think that was just a gift from God, what she told us, and I thought it was wonderful, so I want to vote for her.
All right, so we're going to get two votes for caller Catherine, one of the smartest callers in Christian radio. I mean, there's so many of them. Barry's one of them, by the way. Have you ever heard this guy call in with a comment? My goodness, waiting for a soundbite of the week from him. Thank you very much, Barry. You know, someone should call Rick Warren and tell him that his book has now entered into the canon of American civil religion, along with the Declaration of Independence, the Magna Carta, the Mayflower Compact, all those other documents that kind of make up the canon of American civil religion, the Gettysburg Address, and the purpose-driven life. A lot longer than the Gettysburg Address, though. All right, here's Jerry. Jerry, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, hi, Todd. I go with the purpose-driven president, but I believe he's a globalist, and it's not necessarily synonymous with Christianity.
All right, Jerry, thank you. All sorts of opinions about this purpose-driven president. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. All right, down the line, we've got two for Pastor Matt Harrison on Christian suffering. Jennifer Lull pulled no votes during Soundbite of the Week. Governor Mitt Romney, he walks away with 4 votes. That makes him the leader on the purpose-driven presidency. Pastor Bill Swerlick pulled in 1 very enthusiastic vote about picking out your cross for Lent, and then caller Catherine had 2 on Pop American Christianity and the season of Lent. There's still time to add a vote in here if you want to. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I get a vote. I'm going to vote, too. I'm going to vote. Let me look down the line here. I'm not going to vote for Mustache Man. He'll probably be back on sometime soon. Jennifer Lahl. No, I mean, it was a great quote. It was a marvelous quote. You put it up against Mitt Romney. I mean, if I have one that I'm going to remember, this is how I do it, folks. This is kind of the Simon Cowell reasoning for what this little American Idol thing we do called Soundbite of the Week. My reasoning is, well, I remember it a year from now. I will remember Bill Swirla's. I'll remember Mitt Romney's, too, but I will remember Bill Swirla's, and I'll probably steal it from him and put it in a future article. So I'm going to vote for Bill Swirla. That only brings him up to 2, though. That only brings up to 2. Number 4, who's this? Someone, Bill Swirla. Okay, we got a buzz voting for 4. He laughed, he cried, he says. So that brings him up to 3, but it still does not put him in front of Governor Mitt Romney and the purpose-driven presidency. Let's hear that one, Buzz.
Borrowing from Rick Warren's title, his is a purpose-driven presidency. I'm pleased to announce and welcome our purpose-driven president who stands up for his convictions. President George W. Bush.
A Mormon calling a Methodist a purpose-driven president. You know you've made it when it becomes kind of common parlance. Well, actually, they'll know they've made it when they parody this on Saturday Night Live. But at least he's entered the canon of American civil religion with the purpose-driven life. You know, it just goes to show what Rick Warren said himself on Larry King Live about a year ago. You don't have to be a Christian to be purpose-driven. It's one size fits all. Don't have to believe in Jesus to be purpose-driven, because it's not really. Well, he didn't say this, but I'll say it. It wasn't really about Jesus in the first place. You know, George Borghardt is a regular guest on this program. He says if you can preach a sermon and it makes sense without the cross, it wasn't a Christ-centered, cross-focused sermon. If you can write a book and it makes perfect sense to a Mormon, and he says, wow, this is what my faith is all about, pretty good chance it was something less than completely scriptural and Christian. Same thing goes for the songs we sing, the prayers we pray as well. We'll be right back to talk about worship in that vein.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.